via the Radio 3 website. I should also tell you that Dickens is the subject of the essay this week on Radio 3, Dickens at One Remove. Five novelists consider the craft of his prose, beginning tomorrow night at 10:45. Well, we've no play for you next Sunday evening, but there's no shortage of drama, as we'll be bringing you the final of Cardiff Singer of the World. And you may like to know that television coverage of this year's event begins tomorrow evening over on BBC Four.
Radio 3's Free Thinking. Ahead of our annual Autumn Festival of Ideas in Gateshead, Free Thinking is on its travels this summer, taking up residency at some leading summer events across the country.
Nightwaves here in Hay explores whether love is good for us.
I don't particularly want to live in someone else's head, but I do want to hold someone else's hand.
Free Thinking in the summer, Tuesday night at 10 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
In an hour from now, this evening on BBC Radio 3, we're at Wavendon in Buckinghamshire, home to the Dankworth family, of course, for a concert presented by Kevin Legendre. That's in this week's jazz lineup at 11:30. It's now just after 10:30, time for World Roots to continue our celebration of British music here on BBC Radio 3, and another visit to the Shetland Folk Festival in the company of Mary-Ann Kennedy.
Depending on which survey you take heed of, I'm in the capital of the happiest and most contented part of Britain. And if you get up super early in the morning, and I mean at this time of the year, very early, I can catch one of the most beautiful sunrises in the world. British Isles may be, but the houses I see out along the shore are colourful Scandinavian wooden constructions. I look out at the ferries heading south, and they all carry distinctly Norse names. Allegiances and alliances across the North Sea are apparent wherever you walk, right down to the streets, King Harold Street, St Olaf Street here in Lerwick, where I'm headed for the brand new Mareel Art Centre and the island showpiece event of the 33rd Shetland Folk Festival, where the fiddle reigns supreme. The Shetlanders here are joined by their nearest neighbours in Orkney for an island gathering and some classic Shetland tunes. the Shetlanders and their nearest neighbours, the Orcadians, on stage together here at the beautiful Mareel Arts Centre in Lerwick as part of the Shetland Folk Festival. And I'm joined by, well, I suppose one of the movers and shakers of Shetland music and all things Shetland, Davy Gardner, journalist, agent, diplomat, who knows what else. Now, from the moment you arrive, whether it's in Sumbra or in Lerwick, as soon as you set foot on mainland, you know that you're somewhere different.
Yeah.
It is part of the British Isles, but it's definitely Norse. Mm. Just put into context for us a little bit those Scandinavian connections, because they are historical, they are real connections, aren't they?
They are absolutely real connections. I mean, up until, I think it's 1472, certainly the late 15th century, Shetland was owned, if that's the right word, by Denmark, which was equally owned at that time by Norway. And Shetland and Orkney were both part of the Danish kingdom, as it were. And we were pawned to the Scottish crown because the Scottish king was going to marry a Danish princess, and they had to give a certain amount of money, gold in fact, for this liaison, this union to take place, and they didn't have it to give. So they gave the Shetland Islands and the Orkney Islands to Scotland as a dowry, really, at the end of the day for a wedding. As I say, no tea services or anything at that time. And they gave them under the heidens that they would eventually be given back when the gold was paid, and it was never paid. But what Shetland didn't lose was its Norse identity. I mean, up until almost 1700, certainly the late 1600s, the language of Shetland was Norn, Old Norn, and you can still hear that in the dialect and the place names and everything else today. And I think there was a sort of DNA analysis done a few years ago at Shetland to find out that something like 94% of Shetlanders actually have Viking blood in them, something like that. So, I mean, obviously they caused havoc when they were here in more ways than one. So yeah, I think it runs deep. I mean, it's not only part of our culture, I think it's actually part of our genetic makeup, to be honest. And it's something that there's a real pride in Shetland, and a small desire, if not a significant desire, to possibly, you know, go back to being more Scandinavian than we ever, you know, have been, probably Scottish in truth.
Now, speaking of riches, one of the biggest things ever to happen to Shetland was in the late 20th century with the arrival of the oil boom and the relative prosperity that came to a very isolated part of the world as
Absolutely,
a result of that.
Yeah.
How did this play out at a community level, but also at a cultural level? Did it allow people to do things that couldn't have happened otherwise?
Oh yeah, I mean, as always, when you have money, things become far more social. But I think what it did for Shetland, it changed not only the whole sort of community and social landscape, it changed the political one, and Shetland became a much more dynamic community politically. They had money to play with for the first time in a long time. No saying we were by any means destitute before that, because we had the fishing industry and everything else, but the oil industry changed everything because it was a big player, a huge player, and they needed Shetland at that time. And so they literally, you know, poured money into the community, not only in an economic sense but in a social sense, with the oil fund, the famous oil fund that we have. Now that allowed the development, or the further development, of things like community centres, leisure centres, community halls at the end of the day. And it just really gave people the infrastructure, I suppose, over and above the will for the culture to develop in. More importantly, it allowed the Shetland Islands Council to be a wee bit prolific with spending money. And one of the things they did was, under great pressure from our great fiddler, Dr. Tom Anderson, was to bring fiddle music into schools and be able to pay tutors to actually do something that wasn't a part of the statutory obligations of the council. And that really was the kickstart for the involvement of young people in listening to, learning and making traditional music. And that was the key element for it being the success it is today, bringing it out to the craft houses, I suppose, and bringing it out to, you know, a kind of cultural backwater, as it were, even in an internal sense, and actually having young people enthusiastically taking it to the community. So, you know, indirectly, the oil industry sort of helped all that happen with the will of the people that were sitting back wondering how you could do that anyway.
We see the great success of Shetland and its music today, and I suppose it's easy to forget that you only need to go back those 50 years or so to see before Dr. Anderson came in and kick-started things, as you say, that it was a very different world then for Shetland music.
It was a very, very different world. I mean, there were certainly fiddle players, but they were scattered throughout the community. The great thing, positive thing with that, was that each community almost had its own endemic style of traditional music. And Tom recognised that, I suppose to go back a wee bit, when he went to India during the wartime, he realised that India had a very distinct identity culture-wise and music-wise. And he realised that Shetland had the same, but it was being lost, whereas the Indians were kind of promoting their music at that time and seeing it as a huge cultural entity for their country. Tom realised in a much smaller way that Shetland had the same, but it was being lost. So he actually went around, recorded all the fiddlers that he had, really with just a view to archiving. And then, of course, thought, well, you know, it's okay archiving it, but it's still going to die. I somehow have to find a way of bringing this back to life. So he got together the legendary 40 fiddlers that he'd recorded during the time, which were roughly 40 musicians from different communities in Shetland. And just to show you how divided, I suppose, these communities were musically, when he brought the 40 fiddlers together, they only commonly knew three tunes, which is almost unthinkable today when you see sessions happening and all the young folk and even our more experienced musicians all know the session tunes and all know the Shetland tunes. And there was only three common tunes, so that showed just how divided and sporadic not only the communities were, but the culture were. And of course it built up for there, because they proved to be so popular with audiences who never really knew this culture existed either, that rather than do the one performance that he'd planned for the Queen in 1960, it went on to be the Shetland Fiddler Society, who in 2010 were 50 years old, and on it goes to there.
We're here at a very special event in the Isles Gathering with Shetland, and it's a fairly friendly rivalry with their Orcadian neighbours. Well, we're going to listen just now to a very Shetland set. This is the fiddles tuned old style with the open ringing strings going in the tunes here. Thank you.
a fantastic Shetland set from the Mareel Art Centre and the Isles Gathering at Shetland's Folk Festival, with the fiddle set there at the beginning in the old Shetland tuning of A-E-A-E, tuning them so we can get the open strings and the open harmonies. And I've a wonderful fiddler with me just now who can perhaps tell us a little bit more about this. Kevin Henderson, Shetland fiddler, plays with lots of great bands, Boys of the Loch, the Session A9, the Nordic Fiddlers Block. Kevin, yeah, just explain a little bit more about that particular tuning and what makes the sound special with that.
Yeah, it was used a lot in Shetland, the A-E, A-E, and also A-D, A-E was another tuning. And from what I understand, way back, it was a solo fiddle player that played for the dancing. So to get more resonance and volume, the fiddle would be tuned to A-E-A-E or A-D-A-E, and it just helped lift the sound of the fiddle up, because it's a very special sound, that resonance, and it sounds very like the Hardanger kind of style. So that's where it kind of came from, and it was common in like Walser and Yell and Unst, more
that's
so
the,
than...
The northern parts,
yeah,
of Shetland.
More so there than the mainland.
Is that one of the closest connections? You mentioned the Hardanger there. Would that be one of the closest connections to other Scandinavian music styles?
I would say it is a close connection, because it is very Scandinavian in sound, especially on like the bridal marches and that sort of thing. We have a lot of old ceremonial music, and that's a close thing with Scandinavia, like wedding tunes, and also like listening tunes. It's like Christmas Day in the Morning, for example, that was only ever played on Christmas Day and like the Day Dawn. It's only played in New Year's Morning at no other time, not allowed. But that's similar in Scandinavia, like ceremonial music as well as tunes for dancing.
Did that mean that the fiddler or the fiddle held a special place in the community? Was it a part of every day, or was it something special if you had a good fiddler in your village?
Well, I think it was part of every day, really. I mean, there's also, interestingly enough, there's a couple of tunes that the, like, when the woman was working, for example, working the spinning wheel, there was tunes that the fiddle player played, and it's like special rhythm. Maybe I could play a little bit of it for you. It's called Dún de Ruth, this particular tune, and it's a 21/8 time signature. So it's got a special kind of structure, and it was apparently how they worked the pedal on the spinning wheel. So I'll play a little bit of it just to... type of thing. So that was played for the women. Well, they were working hard, the fiddle player was just fiddling.
Yeah, being encouraging.
Yeah.
it's really intriguing listening to a tune like that, where you hear elements that you think, yeah, that's Scottish, but there's something there that sets it apart. Can you put your finger on the characteristics that mark something out as being Shetland?
I mean, I think the style of tunes is very unique from Shetland. And also the use of ringing strings, that's very like Nordic, Hardangery kind of thing. And there's also a thing in Shetland called shivers, which is kind of like the triplet you do, like a birl, but it's different, and I've never come across that in any other type of music. It's kind of, I'll see if I can do it, I'm not very good at it, but it's like a backward kind of triplet. That's called shivers, so that's very...
So that's all moving on the bow rather
than
on the fingers?
Yeah, it's like you stiffen the bow arm. I've never seen that in any other music.
Now, when Dr. Tom Anderson decided that something had to be done to encourage traditional music in schools, and started this whole reawakening of pride in Shetland music and culture, he brought together these famous 40 fiddlers, and apparently they had very few tunes in common. Is there still that diversity in the islands?
Maybe not so much now, but my good friend Morris Henderson from Fiddler's Bed, he's really good at going into the archives, and he's always coming with his tunes that a lot of folk in Shetland has never heard for years and years. So the kind of regional styles of those tunes kind of went a bit. But luckily, there's still different versions found in the archives, which is great, because I think it's a great thing.
So you
thing
can to go back.
Yeah, exactly.
The fiddle tradition also absorbed, as you mentioned, other outside influences with the fantastic vamping piano style of the likes of Violet Tulloch and wonderful folk like that. Mm-hmm. And also basically what is Western swing guitar with the likes of Peary Willie Johnson. Yeah. What do you think it is that allows the Shetland fiddle style to be able to absorb that without betraying its own traditional roots?
I mean, I think it's amazing that Peary Willie realised that this jazz chords and things fitted perfectly with Shetland music. I mean, Shetland music is very swingy anyway. This is the way the fiddle players play the tunes. So I think in that respect, that style of guitar playing really sits well with Shetland tunes.
So it was a kind of inspired meeting of traditions.
Yeah, he was a genius.
And you mentioned that there is a kind of swing and movement, and there is a kind of up and down movement to a lot of the tunes. Can you sort of pull that apart a little bit?
I think it's all to do with the dancing, where there's turns in the dance and all that type of thing. There's one down, three up, which is a special characteristic in Shetland tunes. Most of the reels, not all of them, but most of the reels has that kind of one down, three up. See if I can do it. See, when I start thinking about bowing, though, I start doing the opposite. And that's that type of thing is where they would do the turn or something in the dance. And it's found in most reels. One down, three up.
Well, we'll let you stop thinking and talking and let's have a bit of playing. Let's have a reel.
Okay. What am I gonna play? I'll do a reel called The Hint the Dixavo. And that's an old Shetland tune that's sort of behind the bike sheds.
Shetland fiddler Kevin Henderson there. So back at the Mareel Centre, where the Shetlanders have been holding court at the Isles Gathering, there's perhaps something of a Viking raid in the offing from the Arcadians, as Shetland team captain Margaret Scully warns the audience.
We're going to carry on now with a couple of reels. Peter D. Scully, which I composed and I was really lucky enough that Fiddler's Bid recorded. And then on into one by the late Ian Burns, called Billy Nicholson. And we might get invaded some way through this, I don't know. Thank you. your big welcome to Douglas and the Army Gathering.
Father, dear Father, speak not so bold, for these words are like to kill me. What can I for pearls and gold? All I want is fame to you, Wally. One night as well, to anywhere, a dark and dreary. She went in such a desperate state, left out a hammer, so Sire Dale, thus desperately dead and afraid. All parents do a warning take, don't cut the tie that's led above. Advice would do not try to break. Let many stranded walk above. Let many stranded walk above. Let many stranded walk above. Let many stranded walk
Jarte nu het dagelien, saft fas de huimen oer de ling. Heim till der nests de fools are fleeing, der birds together under wing. Ah, de bony floors is sleeping, ah, de lambs is boiled and warm. Poory on the yarn is peeping, peeping till dew will close the warm.
Clear White, fiddler, singer, songwriter, speaking in your own Shetland dialect there. Give us a translation of what you've just said there.
So that's basically, darling, now it's dusk. Soft falls the twilight over the heather. Home to their nests, the birds are flying, their chicks to gather under wing. All the beautiful flowers are sleeping. All the lambs are lying down and warm. Our cat is peeping over the wall, peeping until you close the gate.
Well, the words and the poetry there are like everything that we've encountered in Shetland since we arrived here for the folk festival. We see tantalising glimpses of something that we know we should recognise, and then there's something that is just beyond our ken. Tell me a little bit about where the Shetland dialect fits in terms of language.
It's a hangover of our Scandinavian roots combined with Scots language. And the thing with the Northern language is that it wasn't a written language, so educated people tend to speak in English at that time, and they were the people who recorded language. So for that reason, partly, Scots persisted where Northern died out.
Now, with my own background, my Gaelic background, language definitely has an influence on the run and the rise and fall of music, of dance music, of song, obviously. Is it the same with Shetland's fiddle music and song?
It certainly feels like that, and the parallel is often drawn between language and, particularly in Scotland, kind of the sound of the fiddle. So I suppose Shetland music is quite heavily accented. Its characteristics are three up, one down, bowing, da-ra-ba-dum, ba-ra-ba-dum, or dum-ti-ara, dum-ti-ara, which is a kind of a slightly Scots stroke Northern sound. And it's kind of intonation and lilt. And
so that's
dynamics.
The kind of cadence of people's speech that finds its way through into the music.
Yeah, and you particularly feel that when you contrast it with somewhere like the northeast of Scotland, which is known for its strathspeys, much more clipped, efficient language, less melodic perhaps, and more elemental. I think of it as quite a strong language by comparison with the softness of Shetland. And in fact, in the Northern Isles, you go to Orkney and the style of traditional tunes is much more polka-based and gentler, much like the Orkney accent, which is much more lilting, like Welsh, you know. And again, if you go to the West Coast, you can hear that kind of pipe sound in the speech of people there. So I think that there definitely is the kind of a music to the language here.
Now, you write your own songs as well as singing traditional repertoire. Why is it important for you to express yourself through the Shetland dialect?
I think it's because it's so instinctive. It was never a conscious decision of mine to say, I am going to write in Shetland dialect. It was just very intuitive. And when I started to experiment with songwriting, I knew that I wanted to tell stories that mattered to me and that emotionally engage people in an aspect of history or culture or something that they would never have glimpsed, perhaps. And so lots of people have come up to me after our two performances and said, ah, my parents went to a box social, or I'm descended from that eagle bairn you've written about, or that story of the ring on the beach is fascinating. My ancestor also found a piece of jewellery, and it's just lovely to follow those threads. And just the efficiency of expression that you achieve through writing and singing in dialect is quite remarkable. And there are parallels in the music there, because the way that Shetland traditional music is played is path of least resistance again. It's big fishermen with sausage fingers who've been scraping away on very basic instruments and making as big a noise to fill tiny village halls and to make a big sound on board ships as they can with cording and ringing strings and emulating that hardanger fiddle tradition from Shetland. So it's always path of least resistance generally works.
Well, you can't give us the sausage fingers, obviously, but would you show us that saying a lot in a few words, in your own words, in your own dialect?
Of course. I could give you the lyrics from one of my songs if that worked.
Would you sing it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The year was 1690, the summer sun did shine, cutting bare upo' the croft, and life in uns 'twas fine. Whar blessings a' aboot wis, we canna see but wane. There gin for just a blink or twa, we fa' in love again. Baby Mary Anderson lay sleeping in a stook, a lissy shawl aboot her hapt, 'twas this the erne took. O'er the sea to Fettler Isle, the sea eagle did flap. Its talons hadn't tied the babe for fear it might drap. Where blessings are aboot wis, we canna see but wane. There gin for just a blink or twa, we fa' in love again. The eerie it was hidden in cliffs at Buster Pond. Doon gied young Robert Nicholson wi rops around him wand. Twa eaglet guardian angels watched o'er the quiet nest. He lifted up the bairn, still dreaming in her rest. Where blessings are aboot wis, we canna see between. They're gin for just a blinker, twa we fa' in love again. Then came the last to safety, to tears of sheer delight. Nae scratches for the lissy shawl had saved her fae the plight. An old man said to Robert, you'll get her for your wife. And so he gied to test the claim years later on in life. Where blessings are aboot wis, we canna see between. They're gin for just a blinker, twa we fa' in love again.
Now, since I arrived in Shetland, I've heard an awful lot about one very special person in terms of Shetland culture, the man that was really the catalyst for the reawakening of pride in Shetland's music, Dr. Tom Anderson. And you were lucky enough to actually study with him.
That's right. I began learning fiddle with Tammy in 1987 from memory. I was just a young lass and I went to weekly lessons with this great big towering, red, scary man who was a formidable force. He was this astonishing, energetic fellow who was teaching and collecting tunes, and what Tammy did was incredible.
What do you think he'd make of the stage and the Mareel with the Isles Gathering and the Arcadians and the Shetlanders all together, and generations from grandfathers to primary school kids?
Tammy, my goodness, how he would have loved the digital age. You know, he had to do correspondence courses and send away for valves for radios. And yeah, to see Mareel, which is an astonishing arts venue, I'm sure his heart would be bursting with pride at the sight of it.
Well, on that stage, of course, there are people playing purely for the love of it. And if you take a look right closely at the very back of the Mareel stage, you'll see a tall gentleman with a slightly shaggy beard playing away on the double bass. And this is a once-a-year gig for him with the bass these days. He's actually better known as a singer and as one-third of the hottest folk act on the planet, I think, at the moment. One-third of Lough. It's Chris Drever, who is an Arcadian, of course. And we're going to hear him just now in praise of Stromness.
Thank you. So adieu to all pleasure, adieu for a while. When the winter is over, sweet summer will smile. Wherever I do wander, by the land and by sea, I will always remember your kind company. In mountains and valleys of Orkney, farewell. And ever I return again, there's no one can tell. All you pretty fair maids who happy live here, while away on the ocean my course I must steer. So farewell to Stromness, since I must away. I'll bid you a farewell for many long days. So farewell to Stromness, since I must away. I'll bid you a farewell for many long days. May fortune protect her that's loyal and true. Here's a health, peace and plenty, farewell and adieu.
Thank you.
Orcadian fiddler Douglas Montgomery led that beautiful set with Lily, a tune for his daughter, before the Orkney and Shetland musicians collaborated once more, going head-to-head with that fantastic set at the Mareel as part of the Isles Gathering. And I've stepped outside once more, down beside the water here at the Mareel, with Davy Gardner, part of whose job is to take this wonderful music all over the world. Davy, when you encounter new audiences for this music in whatever part of the world, what are they hearing that's special about Shetland music?
It's certainly the quality of the music. I mean, they know what to expect. The great thing that I see when I travel is, I mean, we're a small group of islands. We're a small rock in the sort of crossroads of the North Atlantic and the North Sea. And ordinarily, people wouldn't know too much about you. But travelling, I suppose, in the areas we do, Shetland is know a place that's unknown to people, and largely it's the music that they know about. So they're pretty informed even by the time you get there of what they're going to get, or they have an expectation for it. I think they do hear a uniqueness in it as well. You know, they expect uniqueness, so they're kind of looking out for it and they tend to find it. And that whole hybrid thing that I spoke about, that you kind of put your finger on exactly what it is, because it's a little bit of everything that's been moulded into your own thing. And there's no question about it, going back to Tom Anderson again, you know, he set the standard for the uniqueness of that, and I think people just buy into that. And the musicians that we tend to have across the board are fantastic ambassadors, both for the music and the island. So I think the whole thing just works really full stop across the world.
To have a culture thrive, you need to have a community. And it's a small population, it's an island population, but it is a thriving one. There are young families, young kids. You see bairns all over the place. What is it that makes folk want to stay here, that makes this a place to want to be a Shetlander?
I suppose there's a huge pride in being a Shetlander, which is a fantastic thing. I mean, go back 40, 50 years ago, there was a kind of hesitance to be proud of your islands because it was seen as a backwater. And it was kind of seen as a place that, you know, was populated by old people and sheep farmers, basically. And, you know, that was never true. It was never true. But that was the sort of view of the place that, you know, we were a nice little happy backward race sitting on a rock, as you say, in the North Sea. And we didn't know much about traffic lights and double-decker buses and anything like that. It was never true. But the fact of the matter is that what's made Shetland the community of this again is really the economy at the end of the day. That's kept young folk here, it's kept young people in the community working. Unemployment level is only about 1%, it's been like that about 40 years. It's an affluent community. Hesitant to use the word rich, but probably in terms of other small communities, we are a rich community. And that whole thing has allowed culture to develop. And the great thing about it, even though we're involved in, you know, things like the oil industry, and we could easily lose sight of what folk would see as less priorities, perhaps like culture, that's not happened in Shetland. And there's an understanding that we are different, and now people are able to be proud of that. And I'm not saying it's money that's bought that, not at all. But there's a feeling that, you know, we have a lot to be proud of. And if you see even today that, you know, the Fair Isle design of cardigans kind of and hoodie tops and everything that's going around, 20 years ago that was seen to be almost backward to wear that. That was the old world. This is the new, and we don't dress like that anymore. But it's fantastic to see young folk going around, you know, wearing their traditional garments in a modern sense that's in Shetland now. And there's just a whole sense of pride with young people, because I think they realised, hold on a second, we have travelled, we've been to Glasgow, Edinburgh, we've been around the world, and Shetland can offer as much as any of these places. So let's be proud of it, and let's not think of ourselves as a backwater anymore.
Well, let's head back one more time into the beautiful Mareel Centre here and onto the stage where there is empathy between islands, between generations, and the fantastic music that's going on in the Isles Gathering. Thank you.
music from the Shetland Folk Festival, ending tonight's World Roots, which was presented by Marianne Kennedy.
Music by Sibelius and Lutosławski, two of the 20th century's most original and inspiring symphonies, on BBC Radio 3. And soprano Lucy Crow proves that Lutosławski's enchanted nursery rhymes aren't just for children. Lutosławski and Sibelius from the CBSO and conducted by Edward Gardner. Radio 3 live in concert, Thursday night at 7:30.
Well, next, this Sunday night here on BBC Radio 3, it's Jazz Lineup with Kevin Legendre. That's in a couple of minutes. Of an unfinished work by John Cage, which he began in 1943. A Room from the third part of She Is Asleep, and it was played on the piano there by Bruce Brubaker. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's very nearly 25 to midnight now, and time for this week's Jazz Lineup with Kevin Legendre.
Hello and welcome to Jazz Lineup. And as Radio 3 continues celebrating British music throughout June, it's a real pleasure to say we're coming from Wavendon, the home of the first family of British jazz, the Dankworths. This recording is part of a day-long celebration that